James Buchanan look like a peacock?
Hello, this is Jaden Aceta.
This is Nate Wayne, that other guy.
And welcome to the inaugural episode of Jaden Aceta and that other guy.
Our podcast, where we talk and analyze about movies, books, and other nerdy stuff.
So Nate, Happy New Year, man.
Yeah, you too.
I thought a good way to start our show was if we did a top 10 list of the best films of 2019. It was a really good year for film, and I think...
I completely agree. I didn't see as many movies as I wanted to. I have a pretty busy schedule, but the ones that I did see were quite good.
I know, it was an amazing year. So we're going to start by saying some films that we didn't get a chance to see, but if we had, they might have affected our list in one way. Do you want
to
start?
I would love to start. The first one that I can think would have affected mine is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Ooh, so good.
I did not see this Quentin Tarantino film. I know that you did. You really liked
Very
it.
Very good.
I didn't see it. I feel bad, but, you know, I just didn't have time. And I heard it was really good. Tarantino was always great.
Yep.
I think that would have definitely affected my list. The other one off the top of my head is The Irishman.
Mm.
The three-hour-long Martin Scorsese epic about the Irish mob.
Yeah.
I've heard mixed reviews, but what I've heard mostly is that it's really good, and I think that if I saw it, it could definitely be in the top five.
Yeah, Nate, I 100% agree with you with The Irishman. That's one of the films I didn't get a chance to see, but if I did, it probably would have made it into my top 10. Another one is Marriage Story, the Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson film. I've seen a lot of clips from this one, and the acting is just superb. So if I had gotten a chance to see that, I am almost 100% sure it would have made my list. The other one is 1917. I know that in some places this got a release in December, but where we are, it's coming out in January. So this may or may not be a 2019 film, but it's being considered for the 2020 Oscars, so this is definitely considered a 2019 film, but I didn't get a chance to see it. And the last one I can think of is one I was really disappointed I didn't get a chance to see. We were actually going to one weekend, but it just didn't pan out. That's Lighthouse.
This film,
Willem Dafoe, Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
I heard that this is a very, like character-driven movie, and just the whole idea of it was something that really intrigued me, but I was bummed I didn't get a chance. So those are the films that probably would have made my list if I had seen them.
All right, so now I think we're going to go on to our honorable mentions. I know you have a few more than me, so do you want to...
Yeah. I'll go first. All right, this is going to be a theme throughout my entire list. I like all sorts of movies. They don't necessarily have to be the artsy ones. So some of my honorable mentions might be ones that most people wouldn't consider, but here it is. Number one is Good Boys. Good Boys was a really good movie, really funny.
It had a heartwarming end.
The ending actually almost made me cry. It was really sad.
It was very sad.
Good Boys was really good. Next is another comedy. It's Shaft. This one did not get the praise that I think it deserves. It is definitely a not amazingly directed film, but it was a really heartwarming movie, and it made me happy at the end. So Shaft was really good.
I didn't see Shaft. But I did hear, I of the reviews that I read, I heard the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't amazing, like, directing, but it had a really good plot.
Yeah. And next is sort of another comedy, another family heartwarming one. It's Shazam.
Mm.
Many of you probably are surprised this didn't make my top 10. There were just so many good movies this year. It didn't, but it was very good. Next is Long Shot Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron. Very good. I didn't know a lot going into it, which I think was the best way to see it, because it made it really good. It wasn't as good as I was anticipating, because I was expecting a lot from it, but it definitely was good enough. And the last honorable mention is Jumanji 3 or 2, whatever you want to call it. It's the third, but it's like the second in the new thing of Jumanji, so it's either 2 or 3, you decide. Either way, it was a really good movie. I had fun with it. I actually think I liked it better than the first one. Most people don't agree with me. And the cliffhanger at the end, I'm not going to give it away just in case you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen the third one. I've only seen the first one.
But it was very good. It was a very good cliffhanger. All right, that concludes my honorable mentions. You want to go?
All right, yeah. So, my honorable mentions. My first one is also Shazam. I really liked it. It had a nice a family element, and I love superhero films, as Jaden said. We have sort of a superhero sci-fi theme going on, because that's one of my interests. But I really liked it. It was a good film. My second was A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the Tom Hanks movie about the beloved character.
Oh, yeah, that one was really good.
It was a very good movie. I just don't know if it was good enough to be in my top 10. And then, going along with the theme of superheroes, that sort of thing, my third honorable mention is Captain Marvel. Yeah. It was the acting I really liked. The plot was great. There were just too many other good movies.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yes, I think so.
All right, let's go on to our list. Now, the way that we're going to do this is rather than having one of us read all of our list and then the other one read all, we're going to start with our 10th and we're both going to say ours.
And then
we're
our 9th. Go down the list. Perfect.
So,
do you want to go first or should I?
You can go first.
All right, so my number 10, now keep in mind, this is the way that we rank these movies is the ones that we enjoyed the most.
Yeah.
And I think that the reason that I enjoyed this movie so much because it was funny, the Ryan Reynolds classic, Detective Pikachu.
Oh my god, no way.
Detective Pikachu.
Oh my god.
Okay, so I've never been a Pokemon fan. I've never been a Pokemon fan, but Detective Pikachu, I saw it with you in theaters, Jaden.
Yeah.
It was one of the most fun things I had in 2019.
Wow.
Detective Pikachu, acting was fine. The plot, maybe subpar, but hilarious. Yeah. Ryan Reynolds, amazing. And the plot twist with Mewtwo, beautiful.
It maybe was funny for all the wrong reasons, but I can see where you're coming from.
Exactly.
All right, keep in mind, this list is very fluid, so you can ask me the same question tomorrow, and there's a chance that these films will be rearranged in a bunch of different places. It's definitely these 10 films, but some of them are very fluid. Number 10 is definitely one of the fluid ones. This could be a number 9 on any other day, but right now I'm feeling it's number 10. It's Uncut Gems. Ah. Now, this is the most recent film I saw this year. This is actually the last film that I saw for the first time in theaters. I saw Rise of Skywalker again most recently, but this is the most recent film that I've seen, like, for the first time.
Yep.
Uncut Gems was a really odd movie.
I did not see it.
But it was a really good movie. The beginning, you're not expecting how it's going to go. The trailers give a different vibe than how the actual movie
goes. I honestly
don't
even know what it was about.
I'm not going to tell you because the best way to go into it is open, like not knowing what's going on. And I'm telling the viewers that too. Go into this without knowing anything. But the ending, besides two other films on this list, which I will get into when they come, this might have one of the best endings of a movie that I have seen all year. Like, wow. One of the most adrenaline pumping. There are two others that I can think of, but this one is definitely up there. Uncut Gems is really good. Not to mention a stellar performance by Adam Sandler. He is definitely back. I don't care what anyone says. Adam Sandler is a good actor.
I love Adam Sandler.
He's so good.
He is great. As a fan of the Adam Sandler lookalike Facebook group, I have to like any movie that he's in. I haven't seen Uncut Gems, but I guess we'll see. All right, my number 9, Frozen 2.
No!
Okay. I am a fan of everything Disney, and for that reason,
Disney show.
Frozen 2 has to be on there. Okay, hear me out. Frozen, the first one, it came out, Jane, when we were in second grade.
Yes.
6 years ago. It was amazing. I saw for the first time with my grandmother, and then we watched it at the movie night at my school.
Mm.
So good.
When
the trailers for Frozen 2 came out, I was not that excited. The shot of Elsa jumping on these waves, that means nothing to me. When the movie came out, I was sort of reluctant to see it with you because I was worried, though it really wasn't going to live up. It's true, it did not live up to the beautifulness of things like Summer, Let It Go,
yeah,
Love Is an Open Door, but Frozen 2, a very valid sequel to end the decade It was a wonderful film. The plot was okay. The songs were what knocked it out of the park. Into the Unknown. All Is Found. So good.
I'm going to have to... I think I have the exact opposite opinion. I think that the trailers were very promising, and I loved them. And I was like, wow, this is going to be an epic. It's going to be so good. And then the story was just... I'm not going to get into it. I wasn't a fan of Frozen 2, but I'm glad you enjoyed it.
You, my friend, are wrong.
All right, time for my number 9. Now, number 9 and number 10 for me are very interchangeable. I just felt this one more. I feel like this one stayed with me a little more. Maybe if I had more time to marinate with Uncut Gems, this would change. But right now, my number 9 is Ford v. Ferrari.
Mm.
I know everyone is pushing for Matt Damon for Best Leading Actor, but I have to say...
Christian Bale.
What? I have to... Yeah. I have to say Christian Bale gave... I'm not going to say the best, because another film on my list definitely has the best performance of the year, but he gives the second best leading male performance.
Really?
Because it is both of their film. I don't care what anyone says. This is, if anything, more Christian Bale's film than Matt Damon's. Christian Bale was amazing in this movie. Matt Damon was good, but Christian Bale was another level, so I hope that he gets some recognition at the Academy Awards.
So,
the directing in this was amazing. Some of the shots of the final act where, like, the race, I'm not going to spoil it, but is so intense and is so good. This was a really good time at the movies.
So, Ford v. Ferrari, I didn't see it. I honestly definitely should have put it, I honestly forgot about it. I should have put it in the, would have affected my list.
Yeah.
Because I've heard extremely good things about it, and I feel bad that I didn't see it. Probably see it, when it comes out on TV.
It was very good. Very good.
All right.
Can't praise it enough. If you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor and get it or watch it. Whatever.
Okay. Number 8. Moving on. My number 8 is Blinded by the Light. So me and Jaden have an ongoing feud about Bruce Springsteen. I am a Bruce Springsteen fan because my mom is. She's from New Jersey. It doesn't matter. I love Bruce Springsteen. Of course I had to go see this movie, Blinded by the Light. The acting is not amazing, but the plot... It was executed extremely well. Directing was really good. And the way that they integrated these classic songs, like Thunder Road, Born to Run, Murder Incorporated, Glory Days, these were all so well-timed on the backdrop of 80s rural England. It was great.
I didn't get a chance to see this one. I really wanted to, but it left the theaters pretty fast.
Yeah, it wasn't there for that long.
So they did do the songs justice?
Yes.
I'm not a fan of his songs, but I really did want to see the movie. Well, I'm glad that you liked it. All right, my number 8?
Yes.
All right, my number 8, I know you didn't get a chance to see this, and I really wish you had.
It was playing
at Evening Star, which is a theater near us. It's a indie theater. It was playing there for about 2 weeks. It's Jojo Rabbit. Taika Waititi.
Great director.
Directed. This is... Besides one other movie on this list, which is coming up later, this might be the best directing of the entire year.
Wow.
I'm nervous he's not going to get a Best Director nomination. I think he should maybe win. There's one other person I would probably give it to besides him, which I'll get into when I... find that when I get to that movie on my list. But Jojo Rabbit was just such a fun time. It, like, just the idea of an imaginary Hitler, like, best friend, and it really shows you what the Germans were, like, thinking at the time, like, what their thought process was. It's so sad to see the brainwashing, because our main character is a little kid, and to see the things that he believes is just so sad. And Scarlett Johansson in this movie, she was so good. She was a great mom. Her accent was spot on. And there's a really sad moment. We'll talk about that later. But there's this really sad scene, I'm not going to spoil it, that happens with her character about halfway through the movie. And it is one of the 3 times this year that I cried in the theater.
Okay.
It was a very good movie.
All right, so I didn't see... Jojo Rabbit, partly because I didn't know it was actually happening until you told me that it was really good. But then when you told me that it was about an imaginary Hitler, I didn't rush to see it. I still haven't seen it. Don't plan on seeing it, but I'm glad you liked it. All right, moving on to number 7, right?
Yeah.
My number 7, I don't know if I saw this with you, but I really enjoyed it, Glass. Mm-hmm. Now, Glass was the sequel to Unbreakable, and I'm forgetting the name of the second one.
Split.
It's about these... It's quite difficult to explain if you haven't seen the first two, but essentially it's about these three people who have superpowers, and it's sort of a conspiracy theory thing, and there's lots of twists and turns. I really liked it. The directing was great. The acting was superb, especially Samuel L. Jackson, and the ending, it was a great plot twist. I loved it.
Yeah, I actually didn't get a chance to see Glass.
Really? I thought you did.
Yeah, I didn't. I wanted to, but I hadn't seen Split.
Oh.
And I wanted to see that before, and then it got away from me before I could. See, so maybe at some point I'll get around to it, but I'm not in a rut. I'm not, like, dying to.
I wasn't planning on seeing it, but I watched Unbreakable with my dad.
Yeah.
With Beast Bros, and then he was like, Nate, let's watch Split so we can go see Glass, so I didn't.
I really wish I could have, but I wasn't rushing out. All right, my number 7 is one that I really wish could have been higher up on the list, but I don't know why I'm complaining. It's still in my top 10. I still really loved it. It was better than what the reviews and the critics are saying. I don't care what anyone says. Number 7 is Star Wars Rise of Skywalker.
Really? I thought that'd be higher.
I thought it would be 2, but when I sat down and looked at my list, it's not as good as the rest of the films, but Rise of Skywalker was really good. This is new, so I don't want to go too heavy into spoiler territory, but this movie is just so satisfying and so good. Like, some of the reveals, let's just talk about Adam Driver's performance as Kylo Ren.
Adam Driver was so good.
Adam Driver is one of the best actors working today. He was so good in this movie. And a lot of the stuff, like, it didn't make me cry, but it choked me up. And I saw it the night before opening night, so, like, Thursday night. Everyone's packed. The theater's packed. Janet Mills is 2 rows behind me.
Janet Mills is the governor of our state.
Yeah, and the audience was great. It was just a really good time at the movies. That's it great. Made me feel good. And I know you don't like Last Jedi. Oh. I love Last Jedi.
We'll get to it when it's on my
list. The only reason why I don't think it's higher is because it sort of threw Last Jedi out the window, which makes me kind of mad because I really love Last Jedi because it did something different.
Let's talk about this when Rise of Skywalker is on my list.
Oh.
I'm just telling you that it is. All right. Okay. Number 6.
No. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Number 6, Spider-Man Far From Home.
Really?
So, I have a history of really not liking films that much when they come out, but over the next months, really coming to love them.
Yeah, I thought you didn't like it.
And this is what happened with Spider-Man Far From Home. So, Spider-Man Homecoming is one of the best films in the MCU.
Damn straight.
And I loved it.
Damn straight.
So good. Now we have to make this episode explicit. I really liked it. Spider-Man Far From Home... The plot, when the trailer first came out, we were both in school. I remember, the trailers made me really excited. When I saw it the first time, I did not love it. When I saw it the second time, it improved a lot. Because I think it was because I was with my dad, and he really enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
And now, I rewatched it recently. I don't remember, like, why or when. But I rewatched it, and I really enjoyed it. I think that Tom Holland's performance is great. It's really funny, and Jake Gyllenhaal, standout actor, working so good with Jake Gyllenhaal. He's so good alongside Tom Holland, Samuel L. Jackson, and then of course he wasn't on screen that much with Jacob Batalon and Zendaya, but so good. Jaden, I know you left in the middle of your health class to watch the trailer.
That is a bit...
It was totally worth it.
I did this for another film on this list, too. I have a history of when a new trailer's dropping for a Marvel movie. I sneak out of class, I grab my phone, and I go into the bathroom to watch the trailer. Spider-Man Far From Home, I will admit, is a movie I did that with, and I do not regret a single thing.
It was really good.
Another movie... I don't want to talk too much about Far From Home right now, because, spoiler alert, it is on my list.
Yeah, alright. What is your number six?
My number six is one that I was really, really looking forward to. When I found out about this movie in February, right? When CinemaCon.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I think CinemaCon is when people started to really be like, oh, this movie's coming. I was really excited. So my number six is Knives Out.
Nice.
I was talking about best directing of the year with Jojo Rabbit. I said Jojo Rabbit has the second best directing. I think Rian Johnson for Knives Out is definitely the best directing. This whole movie is all direction. Mm. The ensemble, like, in this movie, that does no longer lie on the actors. This is a director's movie. He has to make sure all these characters work together. So what Rian Johnson did with this, and this is his child. He wrote and directed it.
Like most of his films.
I am just in awe of what he was able to do. Rian Johnson is slowly becoming one of my favorite directors after what he did with Looper, Last Jedi. Last Jedi, I was looking at Nate, and Nate was... I don't care what anyone says, I love The Last Jedi. And he performed amazing. One thing that happens with Rian Johnson films is they all look amazing. They're stunning to look at.
That's true. They're visually very good.
And Knives Out definitely delivers on that. And the acting is superb. He's very good at directing actors, which is the most important job of a director. It's to get good performances out of your actors. And he does that every time. Knives Out is amazing. The standouts being... Daniel Craig.
Of course.
As the detective guy. He was...
Blanc.
Detective Blanc. And I don't remember her name, but the actress who plays Marta Cabrera. Those two work so well together, and I am so excited to see what they can do together on James Bond.
Yeah.
No Time to Die, because they're starring in that movie, which is next year.
I'm really glad that this was your number six, because it's my number five.
Oh.
Knives Out. I saw it first with my great uncle and aunt. My great uncle is a film professor at a college in Ohio, and it was so fun to watch it with him. I think it's why I enjoyed it so much. The directing, as you said, and the screenplay, I really didn't like. I wasn't really excited because Rian Johnson, Last Jedi.
Last Jedi is so good. I don't know what you're saying.
But after I saw it the first 10 minutes, it's so good. As you said, visually stunning. Just the setting of that manor in Massachusetts, so great. The acting, specifically Daniel Craig.
I've eliminated no suspects.
His accent was so great.
Is a foot.
Yeah. Daniel Craig was amazing. The screenplay was extremely good. It was written amazing. Great performances all around. Also from Chris Evans, really good as Ransom. And the plot twists... were amazing. Very well done all around.
One thing I love about this movie, and since we both were talking about this, I think it's okay for me to jump in. But one thing I loved about this movie is it doesn't give you what you expect. Because you expect going into the movie, this is a minor spoiler, so if you care, turn away, but it's not really. You expect going into this movie that the whole movie's going to revolve around who murdered this dude. You expect it to be a Clue. But that's not what happens. You find out the answer... pretty soon into the movie.
It's really about why he was murdered.
Why he was murdered and how to protect the murderer. Yes. I'm not going to go into it
too much. I mean, when you're thinking about criminal law, it means motive possibility. This is all about the motive.
Yes, but it really keeps you on your feet. And because it gives you that big twist at the beginning of you don't know what to expect, it really heightens the experience, especially for that first viewing.
Yeah.
I love this movie.
The acting, I just need to emphasize one more time. All around, it was so amazing.
All right,
you're number five.
My number five. I think we did a switcheroo here. My number five is Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, interesting.
I, originally, in July, this was my number two. But after seeing some other movies, it has been bumped backwards to number five, which is really hard because Spider-Man is my favorite character of all time. So it might be surprising that it's number five and not higher, but there's just so many good movies this year. Spider-Man Far From Home did a lot of things right, but did a lot of things wrong.
Really?
Spider-Man Far From Home is a good movie. It's a great movie. Did Mysterio justice, who is my favorite Spider-Man villain.
Mysterio's really great.
Mysterio has always been my favorite villain. I've been waiting for him to be in a film for a very long time. They did Mysterio right, and they did... the film itself right. But I'm not a huge fan of some of the stuff the MCU is doing with Spider-Man. I do not like how they are making him Iron Man Jr. The Edith glasses, I hate those things. Those suck. I don't like that... This is a minor spoiler. I don't... So, turn away. I don't like that Mysterio's main motivation is Tony Stark. Because
You want it to be...
Because Spider-Man shouldn't be picking up Tony's scraps. Spider-Man should be Spider-Man. And I really wanted there to be some Uncle Ben stuff. I want this to be feel more like Spider-Man. I feel like we might get that with Spider-Man 3 because they said that this movie is really closing up the Tony Stark thing. So I'm looking forward to Spider-Man 3 and the cliffhanger at the end. Oh my God.
He's had the best
post-credit scenes of any Marvel movie ever.
Definitely.
One cameo in particular was beautiful. I loved this movie, but I think the reason it's not higher up is because some of the treatment that the MCU is doing to my man.
I mean...
And screw Sony. This actually, screw Disney. Disney... So, I'm not going to get into it right now, but after that whole fiasco...
Shane was really upset.
After that whole fiasco that happened with Spider-Man maybe being out of the MCU, it sort of made this movie seem worse to me. I know it's back, but I feel like that really did a dent on me. But it sounds like I've been talking trash about this movie, but I love it.
Okay.
The mysterious stuff especially.
Actually, let's get one more thing in before we go to a break. I really liked Far From Home. I am not that against... So, obviously, I don't want... Tom Holland's Peter Parker to become like the new Iron Man, but I'm okay with him being like the tech guy building things for the team. I don't really mind it.
I'm okay with it, but when his entire character is devoted
around
Tony Stark, it takes away from Spider-Man. Spider-Man's main motivation should not be the death of Tony Stark, which at this point I think everyone knows should not be the death of Tony Stark, but should be the death of Uncle Ben, who they have not brought up once in this entire...
Do they own his character?
Of course they do. They can do what... Yeah. Sony owns everything Marvel. This is the Sony movie. And the fact that they haven't done anything with Uncle Ben is just heartbreaking to me. But...
But, I mean, there are practical issues with it.
I guess. But... It sounds like I'm dumping on this movie, but I loved it. Spider-Man Far From Home was a really good movie. Yeah, there's just some stuff I was disappointed by, which is why it's my number 5.
All right, so we have done 6, 5, I don't know. Five. But we're going to go to a break, and we will be back with our final 4.
Jaden Nacida and That Other Guy is supported by Shazam, a division of 42nd Studios. We know entertainment is a big part of your life. And 42nd Studios lets you watch movies and TV from all genres and topics, so you can expand your horizons and enhance your entertainment experience. So you can be confident that you're getting the best movies and TV for you. Get started and go to jadennacida.wixsite.com/42ndstudios.
And we are back from the break. We are going to finish out our top 10 list for movies in 2019. Should we just jump right back in?
Yep. So we're at our number 4s right now. Nate, you go.
Yep. All right. My number 4 is Joker.
No.
What? You did?
Oh no, that should be way higher. All right.
You can hear my reasoning.
All right.
Okay. So, Joaquin Phoenix, so good.
Best performance of the year.
Okay. So, Heath Ledger is hard to beat.
Very.
I don't know. Heath Ledger, Dark Knight series. He was so good. And I don't know if Joaquin Phoenix was better, but he was certainly on par with Heath Ledger.
Very smart.
His acting was so good.
Inspirational.
I don't know who wrote it. Did Todd Phillips write it?
I think he co-wrote it.
Okay, whatever. The screenwriting was amazing. The plot, so well done. It was very violent, but I really liked it. You can see Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, like, descending into just insanity with that, like, I'm sorry, major spoiler warning, shooting Robert De Niro. Oh. I don't remember his name.
Murray,
yeah, on screen. And then, again, even more major spoilers, Batman's parents getting shot in the Ally. in the alley.
I agree. I don't want to go into it right now because mine, it is on my list, by the way, but not at this point.
But Todd Phillips,
so good.
It was an amazing directing, like, performance.
Yeah. Especially from doing the Hangover movies to this. It was a very good movie.
All right, your number four.
All right, time for my number four. My number four is one that I know Nate didn't see, and I doubt a lot of you have seen it. I mean, if you're really into film, you definitely have. I'm gonna stop stalling. It's Parasite.
Number four is
Parasite. Parasite is a South Korean picture that is in all subtitles. So that's one downfall.
Are you kidding me?
That you have to read, but it is so worth it. This movie is so methodical in its nature. Methodical in its nature. It's shot and paced in a way that, like, you know something bad is gonna happen. You know something's up. The ending of this movie is very reminiscent to the ending of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I'm not gonna spoil either of them, but it is very similar. And Parasite is just so good. There's just something about it. I was not expecting to like it, but the fact that I came out of the movie with it being my number four is really impressive. It was so good. And please do yourself a favor, watch this movie. I guarantee you it is going to sweep the Oscars.
All right.
It's so good.
That is great. Moving on to number three. We promised we would talk about it, Jaden. Number three, it's Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, wow. You brought it really high up. All right.
Okay, so let me explain. I have always been a Star Wars fan. From the first time I saw A New Hope, those stormtroopers, just that first scene on Tainted 4.
Mwah. So good.
I love Star Wars. Always have. Jaden hates this, and I'm sure everybody else will. My favorite Star Wars movie is Attack of the Clones. And Star Wars Attack of the Clones.
Boo!
Hear me out. The plot was extremely good. I hate Anakin and Padme scenes.
The majority of the movie. George Lucas himself said it's a love story.
They should not have gotten together. I was in it for Jar Jar and Anakin. Obviously
Jar
not.
Jar Jar and Anakin.
Seriously, though, I love the Battle of Geonosis. It's an amazing scene.
I'll give it to you.
And because I'm a nerd, I love all the politics in it. I just love the way that Coruscant looks. The visual effects are super good.
Yeah.
I just love it. So, when I saw The Force Awakens for the first time, I really liked it. I understand how it was sort of a carbon copy of A New Hope, but I really liked it. But The Last Jedi, I know that Jaden loved it. Oh my god, it was so bad.
I don't agree with you, man. I really don't.
Whatever. I'm not going to go into why I hated it, but he should not have killed Snoke.
Definitely should have.
All right, regardless, going into The Rise of Skywalker, I had extremely low expectations.
Tell him what you didn't even plan on seeing it in theaters.
I wasn't planning on seeing it in theaters unless my dad wanted to, because he's also a Star Wars boy. When y'all showed up at my house, like outside of my window, Jaden and my other friend Nolan, they have this thing where they show up outside of my house and expect me to do things with them.
Sometimes just asking for money.
So it was about it was 5 hours after I landed on a plane.
Yep.
In Boston. I had came back from Boston about 2 hours ago, and then I jumped right into Nolan's mom's car. And we watched Rise of Skywalker. Really low expectations.
And it brought you back.
It hit me out of the park. It hit itself out of the park. It was amazing.
Did it fix Last Jedi for you?
It did not fix Last Jedi. Nothing can fix Last Jedi. But it was done really well. It was written very well. The acting, of course, as you said, Adam Driver is amazing. John Boyega, I'm forgetting the actor,
Daisy Ridley
and
Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac so amazing.
Ian McDiarmid.
Yeah, obviously, Ian McDiarmid. We don't want to spoil it that much, but so good. The plot twist with Rey. Well, I mean, like, there was a lot of speculation, but when it was confirmed, there were many audible gasps.
It hit.
It was really great.
It was a really good
movie. The ending scene with Rey and Ben, Kylo Ren, same thing. That was beautiful. And then the final shot, I'm not going to spoil it, but the final shot, oh my god.
The final scene in general, I love the setup of. There's just one reveal that happens that I'm not a fan of. But you know what? As a whole, Rise of Skywalker was a really satisfying conclusion.
I think it was just, she was solidifying her identity.
I think Rise of Skywalker was an amazing conclusion to the three sequel films. Mm. Not the saga as
not
a whole.
Not the Skywalker saga, I agree. But I think that it was good enough. Like, I would have preferred to see a Return of the Jedi-esque ending. I thought Return of the Jedi wrapped up the original trilogy extremely well.
It's my favorite Star Wars movie.
Revenge of the Sith, you know, it did its job. I didn't like it, but it did its job.
I loved Revenge of the Sith.
It was good. All right, your number three.
My number three, we've been talking about this movie for a while now. This is one that Nate didn't get a chance to see. He really wanted to. Yes. I recently rewatched this movie 3 nights ago because I got it for Christmas, and I watched it again, and I just loved it so much more. So this one's really fresh in my mind. It's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Of course.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is my kind of movie. It's just, if someone were to say, Jaden, what movie do you identify with? And, like, what movie, like, do you feel, like, sums up you as a person? It's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Jeez.
The cinematography and the way that it's shot and the colors and everything about it is just so great. I love the relationship between Leonardo DiCaprio's character and Brad Pitt's characters. It's so good. When I went to California, I ate in the restaurant that a big scene in this movie was shot, and I made a point to sit in the same seat as they did. So I'm really connected to this movie on that front. This movie just is... It came out in July, and it already makes me feel nostalgic. I love this movie so much. It's so good. And the ending to this movie. I was talking about how Uncut Gems has one of the best endings of the year. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood has the second best ending of the year. Okay. I mean, there's one ending that is going to be my number one film. I'm not going to talk about it, but that one definitely has the best ending of the year, maybe of all time. But this one has the second best. The ending to this movie comes so out of left field, but is so good. I'm sorry if you didn't see it in theaters, because it is so good in theaters. In the theater, this ending was so good. I'm not going to spoil it.
Please
do yourself a favor and rent Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
All right. That sounds great. So we've wrapped up three. We're going out to our final two. Okay.
The final two, maybe even the final three, these are movies that hit us on more than just a good level. These are movies that inspired us.
Okay, so this second one, this is a little bit out of left field. It's sort of an indie film. Not really, though. I need some explanation. This is based on a book. I did not read the book. And Jaden said at the very beginning of his list, it's very fluid. And I also said that I tend to really hate films when they come out, and I like to like them over time. I'm sort of sensing that this will be like that. It'll be fluid, and I think it'll definitely go down the list in the coming months. But right now, my number two is Greta Gerwig's Little Women.
Oh, I was just going to say Greta Gerwig. Lady Bird, so good.
I didn't see Lady Bird. Little Women, it has an all-star cast. Oh, God. It is amazing acting. Obviously, the original story by Louisa May Alcott is a classic. It's so good. The movie is fantastic. The directing from Greta Gerwig is great. I love the way that they intertwined the scenes from... Sorry to spoil it, but from, like, the way that the book works is that It's split into half of it is the childhood, half of it is basically them getting married. But they intertwined those two halves, so half, like, the whole movie, part it goes from scene to scene, so first one's childhood, then it's marrying, childhood, marrying.
Yeah.
But the character development is amazing, especially from Amy March, played by Florence Pugh. Mm. And you cannot talk about this movie without, I really don't like him. Generally, but Timothy Chalamet.
Really? You don't like him?
He plays... He plays Laurie. He's a love interest who's intertwined with all four... He has love interest moments with all four of the March sisters. Amy, Beth, Meg, and Joe. You really don't know who he's going to end up with. It's truly a love story, the book. But the way that Greta Gerwig does it, and then the way that his relationship spurs another different relationship. I really want to talk about the actual things, but it just came out, so I'm not going to spoil it. It's so good, and you have to see it.
All right. That's surprising. that's
wait, surprising. And then another part that I liked it is because I call my grandmother Marmy, and the mom is Marmy, so...
Personal connection.
Yes.
Wow.
Text to world.
I knew that was my grandmother's favorite movie of the year, but I didn't know it was Nate Wayne's second favorite movie of the year.
It was so good.
That's surprising. All right. My number two is one that's already been said before, and after I left the theater for this film, I was literally shaking. I was shaking with adrenaline. I was shaking with... I was in awe. I was like, oh my god, DC did it. They made a really, really, really good movie. It's Joker.
Unfortunately, it's not in the DCEU, so, like...
The DCEU can go. I don't know. But Joker... I don't even know what to... I've seen this movie five times.
Five?
Five times.
Oh, my God.
And every time, I love it even
more. It's really good.
It is true. Joaquin Phoenix does subtlety... in such a good way. This movie is not in your face all the time. There are so many things that are like, it's just so good. And one thing I appreciate that this movie did for me is it opened up different Joaquin Phoenix movies. Like Her, I saw Her this year. If this was just movies that I've seen in 2019, Her would definitely be on this list, but it didn't come out in 2019. His movies are so good, and one thing that makes me a little mad is Joker 2 has been confirmed. I really don't want to be a Joker 2. I really don't want
there to be a Joker 2. It was wrapped up extremely well.
Because this is not a sequel kind of movie. We'll see what they do with it. But right now, I'm really happy with Joker.
It was a really nice standalone film.
I really hope it. It's definitely getting nominated for Best Picture. Let's see if it wins.
All right. I completely.
It won the Golden Lion at the Venice Film Festival. Usually those.
It had like a 16-minute standing ovation. Yeah. Okay. So number one.
All right. Wait, this is really serious.
I'm pretty sure we have the same one, Jaden. I don't know that.
Probably. If we do, I'll just say it too, and we can just both nerd out about it.
All right. So, Jaden and I are large fans, very big fans of
the MCU
and superhero films in general.
Superhero films in general. We definitely have the same one here.
Okay. So number one.
No, before you say it, I just want to give my side of the story. My very first memory. Being in the Regal 10 Brunswick movie theater.
Iron Man 2.
And seeing Iron Man 2 for the very first time. That movie inspired me to do, basically inspired my life. This movie did so much for me. It introduced me to the MCU, and I have watched every single one of those movies opening night since then.
What about Far From Home?
Even, screw you. I was at camp, that's not fair. And Endgame, that's our number one. Saw this movie, you have to talk. Okay, I don't know what to say. It is so good. it wrapped up everything perfectly in a nice little bow. It did the final 30 minutes of this movie. I talked about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That's number two. This is number one. The ending of this movie is just... Everything about this movie is just so good.
We're Uncut Gems.
Shut up. Everything in this movie is just so good. I don't even know what to say. You can tell how good I think it is because okay. I just can't say anything.
I'm going to say what I really liked about it. The cliffhanger at the end of Infinity War is so good.
So good.
Not the post-credit scene,
really,
but...
In Infinity Gauntlet vibes.
Yeah, Infinity Gauntlet vibes, exactly.
The comic.
The snap was so good. I loved... obviously, the visual effects were amazing. The way that it picked up before the 5 years later jump... Sorry, major spoilers, obviously.
This is spoilers for Endgame.
The way that it picked up right after was so amazing. When Tony was lost in space, when he was like... Maybe 5 minutes away from dying, Brie Larson's Captain Marvel picks him up. The amazing moment when he embraces Pepper Potts, amazing. When he, like, actually speaks to Captain America, to Steve, I couldn't
that
stop him.
That was one of the best performances.
That was such good
that
acting.
That one scene.
And then the great, hilarious acting from Paul Rudd as Ant-Man. His spur of the moment idea. Watch the whole thing. The visual effects from time travel was great. It was written extremely well. I loved Fat Thor.
One thing that I think this movie did very well is show us really what Infinity War did. One thing I was nervous is that this movie was going to gloss over what happened in Infinity War. That half of the population died. I love the scene where Captain America, Steve Rogers, is talking with a support group. Because that's what heroes do. I just love that he...
Now that they're gone, what we do.
Yeah, he's trying to help the everyday person. He doesn't need his powers. He doesn't need to be fighting aliens to be a hero. And I love that. I love that scene. I love everything about this. I love that we got to see the dark side of what this event brought. Mm. It's not... They don't just play it for laughs, which another movie does, which I was a little mad about, but whatever. And it just was really good. And the time travel. That was the perfect way to end.
It was really long, but it was so good.
It was the perfect way to end this saga, this Infinity Saga. How else do you end something without returning to what's been done before? And I love that we get to see... some of the most important moments of the MCU. Like, we get to see all these places, especially 2012 with the original Avengers. And I feel like that was just such a good ending.
Yeah, so the second act, time traveling, going back to other places, we get to see the past characters. It was amazing. The best time travel moment, though, was the 1970s army base. When Tony is talking with Howard about being a dad... Heartbreaking.
Tony being a father. That's just so good. Everything about this movie, hit after hit after hit, it just gets to you. It's so good. The final act, the parallels between Tony snapping and Thanos snapping are so good. Tony's sacrifice in this movie made me cry.
And also,
this was the first time this year in the theater that I cried.
This is the first time ever that I cried in a movie.
I'm going to wrap this up.
No, you don't need to.
As you can tell, we loved Endgame. And the reason, you can say your reason why you think it's number one. But here, to me, this is why Endgame is number one. Endgame has been built up for so long. In 2014, in October, Marvel did a live stream / reveal at the El Capitan Theater in LA, in California. And they talked about their lineup for all of Phase 3. And when I saw that, and I watched the AMC Movie News podcast about it with John Campia, when I saw that, I was just so, so happy that this was what was coming. And it all led up to Endgame, which at the time was Infinity War Part 2, but still. Led up to this movie. And I was so scared it wasn't going to pay off. Because so much of my life for the last 4 years had been anticipating this movie and talking about it with my friends and theorizing about it with my friends.
Mm.
And like the fact that it went beyond just the movie itself and went into my life and like went past just being a movie and went more to being an event. Mm. If that doesn't deserve best movie of the year, I don't know what does.
Okay, so what I loved about it, it was just so cohesive that it tied in to obviously Infinity War and the time traveling. It paid homage. I don't know how to pronounce it. Homage to past MCU films. Everything about it fit perfectly, and then finally, Tony snapping, the death scene with Pepper and Peter. And then finally, the funeral.
Oh my god, the funeral.
It was so sad. And then also when Black Widow died. Oh.
See, there's so much about this movie.
It's so good.
There's so much in it. And it was executed perfectly.
It was amazing.
So yeah, that is our list.
That's our top 10 for 2019.
Let's run through our list.
Yeah,
one more time. You can start.
10, Detective Pikachu. 9, Frozen 2. 8, Blinded by the Light. 7, Glass. 6, Spider-Man Far From Home. 5, Knives Out. 4, Joker. 3, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. 2, Little Women. And 1, Avengers Endgame.
And mine is 10, Uncut Gems. 9, Ford v Ferrari. 8, Jojo Rabbit. 7, Rise of Skywalker. 6, Knives Out. 5, Spider-Man Far From Home. 4, Parasite. 3, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. 2, Joker. And number 1, Avengers Endgame.
All right, Jaden. That's a wrap on our first episode of
Jaden the Sita.
And that other guy.
Thank you all for watching.
We'll see you
later. Have a great 2020.
Jaden the Sita and That Other Guy is created by Jaden the Sita and Nate Wayne and is produced by Nate Wayne. Jaden the Sita is our director of sound design. Nate Wayne is our managing director. Our staff includes Nate Wayne, Jaden Nasita, Nolan Kaiser, Kate Egan, Jonathan Wayne, and Helen Nasita, with help from Tony Wayne and Bill Nasita. Our fact checker is Nate Wayne. See you next time on Jaden Nasita and That Other Guy.